teach us that heavenly truth. And so that's what that word parable means, to cast alongside. And so we're here on another parable. We're just on the third or fourth one, I guess. And this one today is speaking of the two ways. So let's look at the text, Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So let's look at what the Lord is trying to teach right here. He's speaking of the two ways. And so we see in verse number 13, he's speaking about the broad way that leads to destruction, as our Lord has said right here. And then in verse 14, he's speaking about the narrow way, which leads to life and eternal life. I want you to notice a couple of things. I want you to notice in verse 13, the Bible said, Jesus says that many, once again, we see that word many, many there be which is going to go the wide way. In other words, most are going to choose the wide path that leads to destruction. And in verse 14, he says there's only a few that's going to find the narrow path that leads to everlasting life and leads to eternal life. And so he uses those two extremes, those two polar opposites in many ways right here. Verse 13, we see there is a way that's broad. Verse 14, we see a way that is narrow. Verse number 13, we see a way that is that leads to destruction. Verse 14, we see a way that leads to life and life abundant. And so he is painting for us two ways. Well, here's the thing about those two ways. Verse 13, that is the road to hell. Verse 14, that's the road to heaven. And so he very sharply draws a divide between the two and a stark contrast between the two. The road to hell is very, very broad. The road to hell, many, and we can see that word many also in this text means most. Most are going to take that the road to hell. And the road to heaven, it leads to life. Jesus says that few are going to find that road. And so we see those contrasts between the two. There's the road to heaven and the road to hell. We look at the road to hell. Let me remind you what Jesus says. He says it in a couple different places in the gospel, but we're seeing some of it right here, and he echoes it again over in the book of Luke. But the thing Jesus said, remember what Jesus said about that day, that judgment day. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not preached in your name? Have I not cast out demons in your name? Have I not done many wonderful works in your name? And the Lord's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. But he uses that descriptive word there again, where he says, many, many will say in that day. And that's the ones the Lord's going to say, I never knew you. And so we see in verse 13, the road to hell. We see our Lord saying that there's going to be many, many that are going to go and choose that road to hell, which is the wide road, and which is the road that leads to destruction. That verse 13, as Jesus talking about the road to hell, what he's talking about is this. The road to hell, it is a very wide road. It's a very easy road. It's a road that is filled with pleasures. It's a road that's filled with sensuality. It's a road that's filled with becoming a self-idol. It's a road of self-desire. It's a road of self-want. It's a road that leads absolutely to a place of destruction, and not just here and now, but for all of eternity. And that is a wide road. And so listen, I have no clue how I did that. That was pretty much of a ninja move right there, I do believe. So as Jesus is talking about this wide road, I want you to think today about Christianity in America today. Because what Christianity in America today has done is it has painted a very, very wide road to get to heaven. And that's just not true. It's not true because that's not the Bible. It's not true because that's what Jesus has said right here in this Bible I hold in my hand. It's in red writing. It's come from the mouth of our Lord. It is not a wide road to heaven. There are not many ways to heaven. Now listen, you can Google, and I've done this, and I really hope that some of these videos I have seen, I hope some of them have been chopped, clipped, and kind of taken out of context. But some of the most popular evangelical preachers that we know in modern times have been recorded on tape of saying things like, there'll be Muslims in heaven. There'll be Catholics in heaven. There'll be Jews in heaven. Well, I've got news for you. If the Muslim believes doctrines of Islam, they will not be in heaven. If the Jew believes the doctrines of Jews, they will not be in heaven. If a Catholic believes Catholic doctrine and believes it with all of their heart, they will not be in heaven. And you say, now, Pastor, how can you say that? How can you be so emphatic in making a statement that you are saying is so sure and so sound? Because that's what Jesus said. Now, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. We are saved by grace through faith in Him. That's how we are saved. And so the only Jews that will ever be in heaven are those that have professed faith in Christ and Christ alone. The only Muslims that will be in heaven are those that have forsaken Islam and those that have professed faith in Christ and Christ alone. And I'm speaking of the God of the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible. And so there's not many ways to heaven, as I've heard some modern TV preachers say. There's a lot of ways to go to heaven. And then here's what they like to say, and we preached on this, I think, last time we were here on Wednesday night. Then here's what some of those preachers will say. They'll say, well, now who am I to judge who's going to be in heaven and who's not going to be in heaven? Well, I've got news for you. We can judge who's going to be in heaven and who's not going to be in heaven. No, I can't look at you and say, you're going to be in heaven, you're not going to be in heaven, you're going to be in heaven. I can't do that. But what I can declare with certainty is this, is that if you don't believe that Jesus is the way and the only way, and He is the truth and the only truth, and the life and the only life, then there is no way for you to go to heaven. And you have to believe in your heart and confess it that Jesus died for you and rose again. And so there is not many ways to heaven. And so, yes, I can tell you right now who's going to heaven. It's everyone who have repented and put their faith in Christ, and the ones not going to heaven are the ones who have never accepted Jesus inside their heart. And so the Bible's very clear about that. And our Lord says here, wide is that path that leads to destruction and leads to death. And that's the road to hell. And so today, modern Christianity, in an effort to grow big mega churches and become these pastors can become these superheroes today, rather than traffic officers directing people to Jesus. Many modern day pastors have become superheroes within the religious realm. And so what we do is we don't want to come across as being narrow-minded, because it might turn people away. But Jesus Himself, He's the one that said, wide is the path that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life and everlasting life. Jesus said that, not me, not Baptist, not some religious group, but Jesus said that. And so today, modern preaching doesn't want to turn people away. So we welcome people of all walks and people living in all kinds of sin. You don't have to repent and turn from it. You can just come as you are, because Jesus accepts everybody and every belief and every faith. Come right on in, because, hey, we're all going to heaven anyway. Well, that's not what Jesus says. Our Lord says right here, that broad is that path that leads to destruction. But look what He says about the road to heaven now. That's the road to hell. Look what He says about the road to heaven. He says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, that word narrow right there, I want to explain to you what that means. That word narrow, well, the word straight, because straight is the, that means narrow, a very narrow place. And then he goes on and says, narrow is the way. That word narrow, what it literally means is this. It means hard. It means troubled. It means afflicted. It means lonely. It means costly. And so what he's saying right here is the way to heaven, it's a very narrow way. It's not a broad path where everybody can come as you are and live as you want to and do as you want, and everybody's going to heaven and we'll all sit on a cloud strumming our harm singing kumbaya. No. Jesus said, narrow is the way. What he's talking about is there's only one way, and that's through him. And he wants us to know that that way is narrow, which is those words I told you. That way, when you decide to follow Jesus, it's hard. It's hard. It's difficult. It's treacherous. It's lonely. And it is very costly. And so that is the truth of Christianity. Well, I've got news for you. If you want to grow a mega church, you will not grow a mega church by preaching these words of Jesus. Because it's kind of hard to invite people to come to Jesus when you give them the words of Jesus beforehand, when Jesus says, if you'll turn to me and choose me as the only way, you're going to find out that it's a hard road. It's a costly road. It's a lonely road. People are just not going to pack in a church that preaches the kind of preaching that Jesus did right here. But this is the truth. This is the truth. And for those of you who have ever turned your life over to Jesus Christ, and for those of you watching online, and you've ever fully committed your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, then you're going to know that along the way it's cost you. You're going to know along the way that it's been lonely at times. You're going to know that along the way that there was hardships and difficult days. I remember when I got saved in 1997, there was this like this magical little moment of grace for just a few really probably short hours, but I would like to think as I look back in my mind's eye that for a few days, I just had this little time of paradise and this time of the Lord was, He was doing a work in me. I'd just been saved. God was growing me through Bible study and through my prayer time and my devotional time to Him. And man, all was heaven. And then all of a sudden, I met this individual who was an adversary to me. And the Bible calls him the devil or Satan. And see, all those years I'd spent living for the devil, well, I'd never really met him. I didn't even know who he was because I was living for him. But then I got saved and I give my life to Jesus. And boy, I want you to know, just after those two or three days of kind of peaceful times with the Lord and trying to just take it all in that I just got saved. And then I started finding out who the devil was and Satan was, and it started getting hard to follow the Lord. And it was very lonely at times, and it has been lonely at times. It's very costly at times. And listen, the loneliest place to ever be in is in this pulpit. For any church and any pastor, it's a terrible, lonely place to be because you forsake all to follow Him. And that's what every believer is to do. And I'm sure that if you're here and you give your life to Christ, well, there's been some friends that you've lost along the way. Listen, when I got right and when I got saved and got my life right and started living for Jesus, there were some friends that I used to run with and we lived for the devil. And man, I want you to know they left me in a hurry when they found out that I'd been saved and I was now living for the Lord. But I want to tell you something else too. They were some church friends that I had. They went to church and they were supposed to be good men. When they found out I got saved and I truly got saved and I was truly going to live my life for the Lord, well, they didn't want anything to do with me either. Because the truth of the matter was, though they were going to church, they were just religious. They weren't saved by God's grace living sold out for Him. They were just religious, and they didn't want to be around somebody who had made Jesus Lord of their life. That was too much for them. And so they walked away too. And so the thing is, what Jesus is pointing out here, that narrow way, there's one way, and that's through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But that way, it is hard. Yes, it's hard. That way can be lonely. Yes, it is lonely. And that way can be costly, and it can be very costly. But what we need to know, and we've got to see the great picture, I'm not the bigger picture, because Jesus showed us the bigger picture here. He says this way right here, it leads to life. So notice though, that broad way, you may enter in at the broad gate, the wide gate, where anything goes, all can come and just walk right in. That road to hell, that's the broad gate. I want you to notice about that road to hell, though. The further you go on that road, the more narrow it gets until it leads to destruction. But thank God, when you go through the narrow gate, when you go through that very narrow gate where Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, there's no other way but through Him. When you go through that narrow gate, the further you travel on it, the wider it gets. Because those times are hard, because you've sold out to Jesus, you find out that you've got His presence that walks with you through those hard times. You begin to experience His peace, and you begin to experience His joy, and you begin to experience His promises. And when times are lonely, and you don't have a friend in this world that'll stand beside you, you don't have a friend in this world who could possibly understand what you're going through at that very moment, we find that we have a friend in Jesus, and He knows and He understands. And when it costs us something to be a believer, when it actually costs us something, we can look at our Savior and we can see that, hey, it cost Him too. And that if we are to be like our Lord and we're going to be His disciple, then it's going to cost us. But what He always does is whatever it costs us, He repays us in many, many ways through precious promises, through His goodness, through His favor in our life, and so forth. And I want to tell you something. I read a quote again that I've heard before. One preacher asked, and it was so throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament particularly, if you read it and study enough, there's many tests of salvation that you find within God's Word. For instance, and this is a very serious thing, but the book of James speaks of the man who can't bridle his tongue, that their faith is vain, or it is dead, in other words. So the Bible tells us that in the book of James that if you say you're saved, that's what James says. If any among you seem religious, you say you're saved, but you can't bridle your tongue, then you've never been saved to begin with. James says that, not me. That's pretty serious. That's a test of discipleship. It's a test of salvation is what it is. And so one faithful soldier from the past, he says this. If your faith has not cost you anything, then you don't have faith at all. If your Christianity has not ever cost you anything, then you don't have faith. You've never been saved. It's a test. He says it's a test of salvation. Has it ever cost you anything to follow Jesus? And I'm going to tell you something. It will cost you some things along the way. It will cost you friendships. It may cost you career. It may cost you money. It may cost you finances. It may cost you relationships, even within your family. And so to follow Jesus, it is costly at times. But I want to tell you this. Everything it's ever cost me, it's been worth it. Everything it's ever cost me to be a disciple of Jesus, to be saved by God's grace, it's been worth it. And that's just on this side of eternity. Yes, I've lost friends. Yes, there's been times the Lord asked me to give in such a ways that I just didn't have to give, but I give. And so, yes, it's cost me in finances. Yes, it cost me a career. I got people that I started in law enforcement with. They're retiring now at 50, 51 years old because they started in law enforcement when they were 21, and now they've reached their 30-year mark in law enforcement. So at 50, 55, they're retired. So, I walked away from that career. But listen, everything it ever cost me, the Lord has repaid back 1,000 times over. I have no regrets. But being a Christian, being a disciple of Jesus, it is costly. So there's two roads here. There's the road to hell. There's two ways is what we're talking about. There's the way to hell and there's the way to heaven. The way to hell, the Bible says, is very, very broad. Very, very broad. Now listen to me. So we live in maybe one of the most churchy generations that there ever has been. And it's the thing like this modern day Christian movement that says, hey, you can come as you are, stay as you are, live as you want. God loves us all. Well, listen, I know God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should have everlasting life. But here's the deal. God loves the world, but the world must come to him in faith and repentance before they can ever get on the road to heaven. And so I understand that whole concept, and I understand the thought. But we live today in one of the most churchy generations that there's ever been because of that attitude of live like you want to. God just loves us all. We're just all going to heaven. But friend, listen, I want you to know that's just not the Bible. What Jesus has said is that many or most are going on that wide, broad road that leads to destruction. And few, he says, few will go through that narrow gate that leads to life. And so this is the words of our Lord. Our Lord has painted that picture so vivid and so clearly within this parable that we read here about the two ways. And so this is the truth we must take to heart and know, is that there is only one way. Now, I want you to see this. There's the way to hell. Let me say this. There's a road. Let's talk about it as a road because Jesus is talking about gates. So there's a road that goes to hell, and there is a road that goes to heaven. But there is no road that runs from hell to heaven. Do you understand that? See, the intersection of the road to hell and the road to heaven is found at a place called Calvary, where Jesus died, shed his blood, rose again on that third day so that we could choose that narrow way and put our faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life. So there's a road to hell and a road to heaven. They intersect at a place called Calvary. We can get off that wide road that leads to destruction, the road to hell, and get on the narrow road that leads us to Jesus and leads us to life. But there is no road that will lead us from hell to heaven. Once we're in hell, that's it. For all of eternity, we have chosen our destiny and our destination while in this lifetime. And I realize there's no man or woman who, there actually is some that have done this. But in general, what we find is there's no man or woman who says, you know, I think I want to choose to go to hell. I want to go to hell. So I'm going to choose the... Nobody does that, but what happens is by not choosing Jesus in the narrow way, by putting it off, and by not choosing Jesus, then we are choosing the broad way because we may never get a chance to make it right. But the narrow way, it is tough. Two times, interesting. So Jesus says here, that narrow way, it's hard. Literally, that's what the text says. It's hard. Two times in my life, I've led two people to the Lord. And actually, both of them were on this side of the pulpit. One was in an altar, the altar area of the church right here, and the other was just over there a little bit. But the first one was, I'm going to say, a religious girl. She was a youth worker in the church. Her dad was a music minister at a church. She had grown up. Her dad did Bible devotions at their house and so forth like that. And what she later told me after I got to hear her testimony after that morning was that when she was at college and she was partying and doing all the college stuff that a lot of college kids do, that she had conviction, but it wasn't Holy Spirit conviction. It was mom and dad conviction, because all she could think about was, you know, daddy's taught me better than this. We don't believe in this in my home and in my family. What would mom and dad think if they saw me or caught me doing what I'm doing while I'm off to college? And it was never conviction that the Lord had placed there. It's just mom and dad conviction. But when she come to the altar that morning, And we preached on that text that many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not preached in your name, cast out demons in your name? Have I not done many wonderful works? And the Lord's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I preached on that text. I'm going to give the invitation. She come down. She's a very religious person. She taught our children in the church and done many great things with the youth program. Many, many great things. But that morning she wound up in the altar and she was weeping and she was crying. And I knelt down beside her and I knew why she was there, because it had been a gospel message with a gospel invitation. And the invitation was, you know, if you are lost and you need to be saved, step out and you come to this altar. And so she had come. And so I just knelt down beside her and I called her by name and I said, "You've come to this altar today because you need to be saved this morning. Isn't that right?" And she was nodding her head yes, couldn't even talk. She was weeping and sobbing so hard. And I said, so you know right now that if you died this very moment, you would not go to heaven, and you need Jesus to save your soul. And she nodded her head yes. And I shared with her Romans 10:13. I said, "Listen, the Bible says that if we believe in our heart the Lord Jesus," and I said, I think you believe in your heart, and that's why you're here. That if we believe in our heart the Lord Jesus, and what makes him Lord is that he died for us, but if you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Not you might be saved, not you can be saved, not that you will be saved, but you shall be saved. Do you believe that? And she nodded her head, yes, I believe that. And then here's what happened. And I said, "Dear ma'am, do you want to pray that right now while I pray for you?" And she didn't say nothing. And I asked her and said, "I said, don't you want to pray that right now?" And she started rocking back and forth on her knees, because she was on her knees and had her face in her hands and her elbows on the altar. And she started saying this. She started saying, "This is so hard. This is so hard. This is so hard. This is so hard." I didn't really understand it all at the time, and I didn't know what was going on until I further studied God's Word. And I see texts like this tonight where Jesus said, "Narrow is the way, and it's hard. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the gate, and it's hard. The way is hard. It's narrow and it's hard." And she just kept rocking back saying, "This is hard. This is hard. This is hard. This is hard." And it was like there was such intense spiritual warfare there. And of course, I was praying, and we prayed through that. And finally, she prayed and asked Christ to save her soul. And the interesting thing about that was the day she got baptized up in the mountains, we had a baptistry, but we would try to wait. Most everybody wanted to try to wait until the water warmed up enough in the creeks or the rivers, and we would go out and we would baptize usually in the river. But the day she got baptized, we went to the river, and her sister was visiting, maybe from college at the time. And while I was in the water getting ready to baptize her and many, many more that day, I just felt led to give an invitation that day, and I give an invitation that day from the water. And her sister on a sandbar right beside the water fell on her knees and give her life to Jesus Christ right on the water's edge. The other time, so there's a very religious person here. And the other time, it was a lady who was just immersed in Catholicism. Immersed in Catholicism. You do confessional. You pay penance. All these things that you got to do to hopefully get to heaven. And so she was heavily immersed in Catholicism. And she had been raised in it and was convinced, you know, of all the things that she believed that are really heretical. But anyway, and so she come to the altar. I don't remember the message or even the, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, whatever, but I remember kneeling beside her and asking her. I said, "You've come because you need to be saved." "Yes. Yes, I need to be saved." Shared Jesus, shared the gospel. She started rocking on her knees. This is an entirely different service. Maybe months or years apart, but she started rocking on her knees. I said, "Are you ready to pray that prayer?" And she started saying, "This is so hard. This is so hard. This is so hard. This is so hard." I didn't know where it come from then, but what I know now is this, is Jesus said, "Narrow is the way. There's only one way. Straight is the way," which means narrow, "and the way is hard." It's hard. See, for this religious person, she had to give up all of her religion. And she had to give up mom and daddy's faith. And she had to make it personal. For this woman wrapped in Catholicism and all the things that's involved there, she was having to give up a whole culture, everything she'd ever been taught apart from the Bible of how to get to heaven and who it takes to get you to heaven, not Mary, the mother of Jesus. She is not a co-redemptrix, but this woman had heard in her heart for the first time that Jesus is the only way. Not Mary as a co-redemptrix, but only Jesus. And so she was, "This is hard, this is hard, this is hard." Until finally we broke through and the battle was won, and she prayed and asked Christ to save her. And so the two ways. There's the road to hell, and then there's the road to heaven. And so I just simply ask you this tonight. It's a question you have to answer for yourself. Which road are you on tonight? If you're watching on Liberty Live, I'm asking you this too. You please get in touch with us and let us know if you pray tonight and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. But the road to heaven is not a wide road. Jesus said it, not me. I'm just echoing what he said. But the road to heaven is a narrow road. It's not a wide road. The road to hell is a wide road. But the road to heaven is a very narrow road, where through faith and repentance and our trust in Christ alone, and then you're going to see it's the hardest thing you've ever done. It's the best thing you've ever done. There's no regrets. Listen, there's not a doubt in my mind that the Lord has probably many times regretted ever saving me. But what I know is this: I've never regretted giving my life to Him. Never, ever have I regretted giving my life to Him. He has been so good, so faithful, so true. Yes, the way's been hard. Yes, it's cost me some things along the way. Yes, it's been difficult. Yes, it's been lonely at times. But I want to tell you this, it's been worth it because He has been faithful. And that's the narrow road, the road that leads to heaven. So which road are you on tonight? All you got to do is put your faith, believe from your heart the Lord Jesus that God raised Him from the dead, and you too shall be saved. I'm going to ask you to stand. Thank you for joining us on Liberty Live, and ask you to stand and tell somebody you love.